What's up, you sacred motherfuckers? Welcome back to Jasmine's Garden, because you already know I was kicked out of Eden, bitch. So for the first topic, we are going to be discussing the transition from organized religions into spirituality. And I'm going to be sharing a lot about my journey personally, and then just giving some of the things that I found along the way that might be helpful to y'all. So I grew up missionary Baptist, and my father is a pastor, and my mom was an usher before she was the choir directress, but that's what she does now. So my entire life I've been participating in church events, but there was always something that didn't quite sit right with me. You know, it started off with the questions I had in Sunday school and at home that couldn't be answered, like, where did God come from, or why did God just not rid of Satan, etc. shit. And the answer was always, you'll have to ask God when you get to heaven. And I just remember feeling like, well, why did he leave a bunch of motherfuckers in charge of his word that can't answer questions about it? So, you know, I felt like he just wouldn't make me intelligent this way to not be able to ask the questions that I have, and give me a life to where I wouldn't be able to find the answers. And then being told that it was my responsibility to build a connection with him, but I had to do all this work and I'm not even getting the bare minimum in the form of answers or results from him. So when I was like 15 or 16, I was on YouTube one summer and I was looking for a song by Rihanna or Beyonce, one of the two. And you know how YouTube has all those suggestions under its videos? Well, there was some suggestion for an Illuminati video. And this is not to say that I subscribe to these conspiracies or anything, but they piqued my interest and opened a door to curiosity that went in the other direction of the things that I had been taught. So these videos were talking about how the music industry and the music videos we watch are evil. And at some point in a later podcast, I'll dissect that a bit. But anyways, those videos led into more videos about the origin of the Bible and Christianity being a false religion. So naturally, being raised as a Christian, I was offended and my cognitive dissonance kicked in and I rejected what I found. So fast forward 2 years and I'm now in college at Bethune-Cookman University, which is a historically black university. And the requirement for freshmen was to attend chapel every Wednesday. So at first I liked the concept, of course my parents did. And then, you know, I grew the fuck up a little bit. I started partying and stuff. And then I started skipping chapel to the point that I was failing chapel. Imagine being the pastor's kid and you're failing church. And I didn't feel bad about skipping, but that made me feel bad about my faith. But I told myself, God gets it. I have to learn, you know. He understands that right now I'm just experiencing things. So I ended up flunking out of college and ran away for the summer so I could stay with my grandmother, mainly to avoid the judgment of my family, meaning my parents, but also I wanted to build a connection and a relationship with my birth mom's side of the family, and so that's what I was attempting to do. And while I was there, she didn't force me to go to church, even though she is a strong believer herself. We actually went together only twice, and then I went a third time to another church with my aunt and uncle. The church is called Redemption in Greenville, South Carolina. I don't know if it's still called Redemption because I think it actually has a new pastor or whatever. But that third time at church during the praise and worship portion was actually the first time I felt spiritually connected. Everyone seemed to be in need and crying out, and it was like one band, one sound. We were like a group of drunk best friends singing their hearts out over their favorite song. The passion and the emotion, it shifted something within my energy. A feeling I didn't recognize from my previous church experiences. So when I got back home to my own church, I was seeking that feeling again. I had times where I cried while leading the praise team myself, and I would walk around the church and shout, doing what the saints call getting happy. But I didn't do it out of connection. I did it out of conviction. I felt like I didn't have the relationship I was supposed to with God, and that was the way to do it. That's how I would get in his good graces. When my father took a sabbatical at one point from our church, we went to a predominantly white church, which is exactly like the church in South Carolina, Redemption. It's non-denominational. And all the young people seemed heavy in their worship, and I felt even more convicted, like, why do they feel so moved by God to worship this hard and I don't? So after about 2 years of being home from school, I started going out heavy again. And I actually got involved with a lifestyle community, and that will be dissected at a later time on a podcast, unless you can read between the lines. Needless to say, I was not living right in the eyes of the Christian God. I'm gonna be real raw on this podcast, so y'all brace yourselves. But I would be out all night Saturday, and I would sneak slash stumble in the house on Sunday morning around 3 or 4, waking up the fucking dog. I'm shit faced, and I'd be passed out with a taco attached to my titty for about 2 hours before getting woken up at 6 a.m. to get ready for church that started at 7:45. Like, I'd still have makeup from the night before. Stripper glitter everywhere, lick and dick still on my breath, sometimes coochie. And at that point, I felt like God was repulsed by me. So I started trying to work more on Sundays, or I lied about working, and I would just go to my boyfriend's house or my best friend, who had an aunt that lived down the street. We would just go there and smoke and get lit while everybody was in fucking church. But I wasn't trying to be anywhere in his sight, because I couldn't figure out what was so wrong about me living how I wanted to if it made me happy. And around Easter that year, I remember getting into a couple of Facebook arguments about God's existence and why things in the Bible transpired the way that they did with some of my atheist friends, and all the points that they were presenting made too much sense, and I couldn't form a rebuttal, and it fucked me up that people could question God the way I'd always wanted to, and it made me want to question him further. So fast forward again to almost a year. At this point, for about 6 months, I had really started ducking and dodging church most Sundays out of the month, not coming home throughout the week, and my love for partying on the weekends kept me out all night, which led my parents to give me an ultimatum. Either I'd be in their house by a certain time, going to church on Sundays and some other shit, or I needed to find somewhere else to stay. That was April 6, 2019. And in that same week, earlier in the week, on a Sunday, March 31st, I believe, the rapper Nipsey Hussle was murdered. And I want to make it clear, I was not like an avid Nip fan or anything at the time, but something about him being killed really messed with me. There was like this weight on my chest, like I guess when you're feeling anxiety, and I couldn't process it. And finally, my higher self, which at the time I thought was just my consciousness, was like, bitch, just go look him up. And I did, and I did some simple reading, but it was really the tattoos he had. One said prolific, and another said God will rise. But the way that I read it, it was like, no, there's no way that he is a Christian and this is what he believes in. So I went into studying and researching and finding out that he was spiritual, and diving in what it meant to be spiritual. Cue in my first full circle synchronicity to when I stumbled upon a YouTube video by a man who goes by the name of Brother Keston. His video was called How Christianity Strips You of Spirituality, which confused me more, because I thought being a Christian meant that I was spiritual, but based on what I had researched and the points Brother Keston presented, I realized I had it wrong. And he talked about how the Bible was used to enslave people and then turned around and given to us to free us. And he said something I'll never forget, which is, your oppressor would never give you the tools to free you. And I remember the anger and the fear and the tears that I shed as he continued to make his points, realizing I couldn't understand what I kept trying to believe in because I was missing too much of the puzzle to complete it. So divine timing laid it out for me to move out of my parents' house, away from their rules, at a moment where I was questioning and needed clarity that would only come from discovering and exploring on my own, away from their judgment. Cognitive dissonance activated again and didn't allow me to just drop my conditioning. So I started by trying to incorporate the things I was learning into my current faith. The problem came from the more I learned, the more it negated my faith, because it was something now that was resonating through my core the way I thought Christianity was supposed to, and it didn't. So from there, I dove into studying other belief systems, learning about their practices and their values and so on, journaling about what stood out to me. I studied all the different deities from the different backgrounds, trying to give myself a healthy perspective, afraid to limit myself to one thing or the other, which has really become a great tool. I started looking into the different forms of spirituality specifically, since it was the belief system that resonated the most with me. I dove deeper into studying meditation and manifestation. I joined a couple of Facebook groups, which I do not recommend you doing without serious discernment. About after a month and a half, I had this moment where I needed money. I was in between jobs, and I hadn't talked to my parents since I moved out, so I was like scared to hit my dad up, but I didn't know who else to ask. So I geared up for any questions he might have for me based off how we left off when I moved out and shit. So, disclaimer, me talking about the moments I have with my father does not give you the right to judge him based off these single moments alone. Anyways, so once I told him about me hating my jobs and being in between them, he blamed it on me not being in alignment with God. And I was pissed off, but he wasn't entirely wrong. My concept of God was still misplaced, and I was trying to incorporate teachings that no longer held weight because I was afraid of what would happen if I walked away entirely. And my first convo definitely didn't go as planned, and I left in tears and hurt and more confused than I had came. So that night when I went to sleep, I woke up around like 4:40 and went to the bathroom and shit. And I had my toilet thoughts, and I was just like, you know what, God, universe, gods, ancestors, whoever, whatever is out there, I really just need a fucking sign. So after I got done and everything, got out the bathroom, before I climbed back into bed, I had opened my phone, my thumbprint unlocked it, you know how iPhones do. And it opened it to Facebook, and Facebook refreshed, and the first post that was on Facebook said, when the universe shows you a sign, believe it. And I teared up, and I just felt so relieved, and I went to sleep, and I had this dream, and I'm standing on this platform in what felt like a void, but it wasn't scary. There was like lights or stars or sparkles or some sort of shit that kept it illuminated, and I was very lucid. And at the end of the platform, there was like this big figure, and it was just sitting there. I couldn't make out a face. It was really just a silhouette. But I was like, oh my God, I need to ask them, who is God? And I was like, who is God? And they didn't answer me verbally, but their silence could be felt energetically. And I translated it to stop asking questions you already know the answer to. And when I had woke up, I actually felt like I was thrown back into my body. I had no air. It felt like somebody knocked the wind out of me. And I decided at that moment, if the Christian God was the real God, he had plenty of opportunity to show up with the sign as clear as the ones that the universe seemed to be giving. And if all of this was really the devil I'd discovered, then why was he able to get messages to me more effectively and consistently than God? And if God really cared about me, he would have answered me in a way that I would have fucking understood. You know, the church and the Bible always says, you'll hear God's voice clear as day. Well, I always thought it's funny that God's voice sounded a lot like mine, and it only got louder when I decided to seek out the truth, no matter how much I had to unlearn to connect to it. So, as I mentioned before, around that time I had this conversation with my father and received what I thought was my first sign and divine dream. I had only been studying for about a month and a half, like the meditation, the manifestation, the different spiritual sectors, the deities, all that good shit. I had only been studying for a month and a half. Even though I was consuming information left and right, I didn't know shit. I was confused as fuck, and I was most definitely all over the place. And people often ask, how did I start my spiritual journey? What books did I use? I learned early on, books are author's interpretation of source information. I can't remember if it was Bobby Hemmett or Brother Panic that said it. And it's not to say that you can't use them, but you have to keep in mind that they are accounts of other people's experiences meant for you to connect to your own where it resonates, not for you to try and recreate. Did y'all hear that? It is meant for you to connect to your own where it resonates, not for you to try and recreate. Because when people tend to ask this question, I think it's because they believe there's some sort of chronological steps or some shit that you can take when it comes to your spiritual journey. Mine personally started as a mindfuck. I really feel like my journey started before I was aware of it. I feel like the moment we become aware that there's a journey to be had and we decide that we're ready to start that journey, even though we don't know what it entails, we just know what we're doing right now isn't working, is the moment we switch from trial mode into like orientation. So somewhere in that blur of research during my first month of studying, several of the videos I stumbled upon mentioned how fear in general will keep you trapped. The universe is mental. You are a spirit experiencing itself as a human, not human seeking spirit. Everything is energy, and our energy holds a vibration that aligns to the frequency of the reality around it. There was a couple of these reoccurring themes that were really resonating with me. So that's tip number one for anybody trying to figure out where to start. Start by listening to things that are naturally speaking to you, things that naturally interest you. If it don't call, don't connect. If it doesn't fit into your puzzle of understanding, file it for later. Some things aren't meant for you, and some things aren't meant for you until you're ready for them, but you get a little sample. I kind of look at life as like a recipe, and certain aspects have an acquired taste. Some aspects you can only have in small portions, that way it doesn't make you sick. That's also tip number two. There's a lot of information out there to be explored, but it doesn't have to be overwhelming if you look at it as infinite knowledge to be obtained at your leisure. There's a shit ton we have in storage right now, and we don't use it, and we'll never use it again. So don't stress about trying to consume it all. There's no rush. Start with what you're struggling with. I was struggling with how to let go of religious motifs that conflicted with my newfound spiritual freedom. So I started by breaking down the ideas of religion that always confused me, like, where was God through all these major historical events, and what was actual evil versus my conditioned concept of evil, and what was the purpose of organized religions altogether when most of the sacred texts surrounding it speaks against it? I also struggled with how could people from different religions be so connected to their God if the Christian God was the one true living God. So I contemplated the first question, and I kept wondering, why did God stay silent and inactive in my perspective? And all these bad things taking place on the earth, there has been so much horrendous shit taking place in his temples, in his name, by his people and to his people. I just really had a hard time understanding how he was present in all of this. And that was also another thing I struggled with, him being a he. I felt like God shouldn't be confined to one gender, because that alone provided a very biased view. A view that the patriarchy took and blew out of proportion to the point where it's now a huge contributor to the level of misogyny that can still be experienced in today's society. So when I started researching the different archetypes of the gods from other religions, it was really refreshing to see how they had gods of all genders and no genders, and how this actually caused the followers of these faiths to treat and respect each other differently, which led me to question, how could the feminine energy pattern, being just as intelligent, just as powerful, and just as inspiring in these different religions as men, be evil in mine? And if these other practices, especially the polytheistic ones, could represent the essence of all beings in different lights, showing what we perceive to be good and evil, and it still help people transcend and grow consciously, what the fuck was making it evil? And then it kind of clicked. If you control what people believe, then they'll never know what they're capable of. And if they never know what they're capable of, they'll never challenge the ones that do. Which makes me think of a concept from the show American Gods, how when the gods of different faiths start to lose followers, they start to die off, because they're only as powerful as their following. It's that shared understanding, the collective agreement and connection that allows for an energy to be created that can be felt by everybody participating. I don't know if y'all have ever played Light as a Feather, Stiff as a Board, but you repeat light as a feather, stiff as a board, light as a feather, stiff as a board. And in your mind, you are believing that the person that you are lifting with your two fingers from each hand is going to become light as a feather as they are laying stiff as a board. And this collective agreement and connection allows for everybody to be able to lift up the person that's laying stiff as a board like they're light as a motherfucking feather. And I was mind blown, because then I started being able to make connections from all sorts of backgrounds, like the Wall of Jericho, everybody marching around, the one band, one sound, here comes another full circle synchronicity. I remember learning from my Haitian friends and studying and researching how voodoo was used during the Haitian Revolution, and it made me think again. Of course, people in a collective agreement under the same energetic connection with the same intention for a specific outcome. I feel like that is the ultimate concept behind the creation of religion, or at least organized religions. People are seeking community and connection first. And those that like to corrupt things know, if people were to connect to their true self and then start connecting with others like their selves, they'd have the power and the ability to start changing the world that they want to control so bad. So they have to add these extra rules and regulations that do not resonate with us. And we feel that that's supposed to be our red flag in the wind. And that's when I realized the things that were deemed evil, or most of the things that were deemed evil, were only done so to keep us from evolving past a point of control.